But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with the saga of the Texas Democrats, move on to the federal takeover of D.C., and follow all of that up with an update to our ongoing docuseries, How to Embarrass Yourself on the World Stage, Trump Edition. Let's begin, shall we? Holy fuck, a lot of shit has happened in this last week. It's hard to keep from getting distracted. For starters, Cracker Barrel changed their logo, getting rid of the cracker and the barrel, perhaps after seeing what's been happening to American Eagles, disappearing foot traffic ever since they decided to not have a so-coded discussion about eugenics with their customers, starring Sydney Sweeney. Unfortunately, that move just pissed off their pastiest of customers. You know, the majority of people who eat at a place called Cracker Barrel. And to that, I just have
my thoughts and prayers.
Meanwhile, prices are continuing to rise everywhere Americans shop, thanks to Crimes the Clown extorting $130 billion from companies by calling the cash grab tariffs, which has now turned into no one can afford shit because corporations believe in trickle-down cost increases. Oh, and just as we were all getting used to being more than a bit irritated with Target removing tags from everything just to cover up how much more their shit is going to cost you, Walmart decides to do this.
I bought you from the freezer back in aisle 2.
Well, really, folks, what else do you expect from a guy in charge of the CDC who has admitted publicly that a portion of his brain was eaten by a tapeworm? Seriously, no matter how many times Chris Pratt makes concessions for his relative by marriage on Bill Maher's boomer excuse of a podcast, only gives a shit about profits, Walmart is going to sell you Chernobyl marinated shrimp because of course they will. That's why the CDC is there, among many other reasons, but in this particular case, to stop Walmart from killing their customers to make a buck. And that is why this one is on the brainworm running the CDC, because who gives a fuck about the dangers of food coloring when you're going to look like a glow stick without a rave after dinner? Next thing you know, Fox Not a News Channel will be trying to convince your maggot relatives that they can save a ton of money on their electricity bills by eating seafood exclusively from Walmart. And while we're on this subject of how fucked up is fucked up, Texas state Republicans have gone full fascist in order to ensure Kenkel's McTaco Tits keeps his tiny-handed grip on our government despite whatever changes the voters were planning.
Texas Democrats say they're returning to the state after fleeing for 2 weeks to prevent a GOP redistricting overhaul.
We are coming back to fight on our own terms.
to pursue the legal option now that we have an extra bit of safety with California coming on board and with other states potentially coming on board soon.
The doorkeeper will lock the doors.
The Texas House Speaker announced that they would be confined and locked into the House floor unless they signed a written agreement.
Republican leaders barring the Democrats from leaving the chamber without a police escort. The Texas House Speaker's office tells us the escorts are in accordance with House rules authorizing leadership to compel attendance.
A Democratic Texas lawmaker spent the night on the state House floor. She's still there.
What State Representative Nicole Collier is doing here is protesting this requirement that the House Democrats agree to being under police escort until they return to the chamber on Wednesday morning.
The speaker announced once quorum was restored, any member that was out because of the quorum break would be required to sign a permission slip agreeing to be under the authority of DPS in order to leave the Capitol. I refuse to sign the permission slip. I will have to stay here.
Texas Republicans are passing their redistricting bill after Texas House Democrats return to the state Capitol.
Republicans wasting no time, passing the new congressional maps out of committee Monday night, setting them on a fast track to passage.
And just like that, the Texas State Senate passed House Bill 4, otherwise known as the Cheaters Gotta Cheat to Stay in Power Act of This Timeline Sucks. See, Donnie DePenz and the Republicans know for a fact that their party is historically unpopular right the fuck now, and if voters have their way in the midterms, as many of them as possible will be voted out of office. So, the tiny-handed grifter asked his favorite DEI governor for 5 more traitors to the House of Representatives to make sure the Dems don't take back control and put an end to his shuffle toward authoritarianism. Because Texas is actually majority Democrat with 8.1 million registered for the blue team, but thanks to years of Operation Red Map, only the 6.6 million registered Republicans' voices are heard. Hence why, out of 38 potential House seats for the Capitol from Texas, Republicans currently have 25. But now this new map is passed, they'll have 30 seats. And all thanks to a bunch of white people returning the vote in Texas to 1860 standards, as 2 Texas House state Democrats pointed out.
Under this map, white Texans receive 1 member of Congress for every 445,000 residents. If you're Hispanic, it takes about 1.4 million residents for that same representation. If you are Black, it takes 2 million. In this proposal, a Hispanic Texan has 1/3 the political value of a white Texan and a Black Texan 1/5. It would take 3 Hispanics to equal the representation of 1 white Texan and 5 Black Texans to equal the value of 1 white Texan. Under these lines, Texas Hispanics will be the most underrepresented population group in all 50 states.
Because this is about racism. Because if you knew you could win this next election, you wouldn't be taking this effort to try to steal 5 seats from elected officials that members of color elected to represent them in Washington, D.C. Because you think that people will give you grace on ignorance and arrogance around party because you can't admit that the root of all of this is about racism and power. Because when Donald Trump called Georgia Republicans and said, "Hey, boys, I need you to steal me almost 12,000 votes." To those men credit, they said, "No, sir. We already know what Governor Abbott said."
Yes, ma'am, we do. But I'd like to focus on the Texas Democrats for just a moment, because the passage of House Bill 4, the diluting of Hispanic and Black votes in Texas, may have been initiated by Republicans, but it wouldn't be sitting on Governor Hot Wheels' desk right now if it weren't for one crucial thing. Quorum. A few weeks ago, the fact that the new districts in Texas would reduce the Hispanic vote in that state to 1/3 of its value and the Black vote to 1/5 was such an affront to the Dems that they left the state to deny quorum. They were threatened with jail time and fines of $500 a day, but they stayed away. determined to deny Republicans the pathway to disenfranchise 3.5 million black people and 12 million Hispanic people living in Texas. And that determination lasted about 2 weeks.
You done messed up, Aaron!
So what the actual fuck, Dems? You had them by the quorum. So what happened? Did you miss your families way too much to stand up for them and your constituents' rights to have their vote matter? Because as soon as y'all come back to Texas, all of you, except one, got your permission slip so you could go right back to your families. Seriously, what the fuck? And it's not like I'm being unfair. It was nice of some of you to call your colleague who was trapped in the Texas State House floor for refusing to be a beta like the rest of you, but if I'm going to be real here, y'all should have stayed with her in the first place, not showed up the night before voting on House Bill 4 with a pillow and a torn up permission slip saying, "We stand in solidarity," when we all know
this is some bullshit.
Americans do not need political performances that end in backpedaling just so the empire can win in the end by cheating out in the open. What we need are Democrats who are willing to actually stand up and refuse to comply with a hostile government takeover. Democrats who are willing to spend much more than just 2 weeks away from their families for the sake of preserving their constituents' right to their representative, and not the other way around, because some Dems just don't understand this concept, obviously. So leave it up to California's Governor Newsom to bail out another red state.
It was a political fight that started in Texas, but California has officially entered the ring.
When we learned that at Trump's behest, the Republicans in Texas are trying to change seats so they won't lose the majority in the House because they know what they've done is unpopular, we took a look at whether we should respond. And we decided as a delegation that we could not just stand there and allow Trump to distort the next election. And so we have worked to try and identify a map that is actually adheres to the criteria that the Independent Commission worked with. We divide less cities, less communities. We're more compact, but we also identify five seats held by Republicans that likely could be electing a Democrat if these maps were adopted.
Governor Gavin Newsom signing a trio of bills that will establish a special election in November where California voters ultimately decide whether to redraw congressional maps, which will lead to five additional Democrats likely going to the U.S. House.
We got here because the President of the United States is struggling, because he recognizes that he will lose the election. Congress will go back into the hands of the Democratic Party next November. He recognized that, and that's why he made a phone call to Greg Abbott asking for five seats. Can't win by playing by traditional sets of rules. He plays by no rules. I remind you all the time, it's not the rule of law, it's the rule of Don. And we're standing up to that. We wouldn't be here had Texas not done what they just did. We're neutralizing what occurred, and we're giving the American people a fair chance. There's no question that the Republican Party will be the minority party in the House of Representatives next year.
And may the odds be ever in our favor, because Californians will now decide whether to give Texas Republicans a taste of their own medicine when it comes to redistricting. Cali Dems have approved a map that removes five Republicans from office, balancing the damage Texas has done on the House, and I am here for it. California residents, I hope, will be too, since recent polling shows just 46% of them are down for it, and 18% don't really have an opinion on the matter. Because if not, the rest of the country is probably going to end up looking like DC before we realize it.
President federalized a city police department and ordered 800 National Guard members not to respond to a hurricane or a riot, but to help police U.S. neighborhoods and U.S. citizens.
Free DC! Free DC! Free DC! they want to object to it. You know, they want to march and protest. You know what? They should kiss the ground at this point that you've got someone who wants to make it clean again. Look, they cleaned out, I think it's 44 homeless encampments. Yes. No one was arrested. I mean, this is the nation's capital. It should look like the nation's capital, the shining city on the hill.
Listen, our law enforcement officers are telling us that people are coming up to them on the street, and they said a lot of people are walking by whispering, saying, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Love to spit in the face of the police as the police are standing up there and they're screaming at them an inch away from their face, and then they start spitting in their face. And I said, you tell them, you spit and we hit, and they can hit real hard. And they're standing there and people are spitting in their face and they're not allowed to do anything. But now they are allowed to do whatever the hell they want.
President's federal takeover of the D.C. police can only last for up to 30 days before Congress is essentially required to step in and either pass an extension or tell him to stop it. The president said today 30 days isn't enough, and he's likely to ask Congress for some kind of an extension and possibly national legislation on policing policy.
Well, that's not shocking at all. A 34 times convicted felon who's married to an immigrant nudie model who lied herself to get into this country on an Einstein visa is warning everyone about felons and immigrants. See, what is not at all normal here is a federal takeover of an American city. Just so happens to be the capital, and say it's in the name of safety. Not that they give two shits about safety. What with a criminal currently occupying the White House thanks to a dipshit from South Africa who apparently knows a lot about vote counting machines. No, what they're really interested in is making DC the perfect place.
Welcome to DC, such a perfect town. Now with armor, guards, and an orange clown. Just be male, rich, and white, and you will be alright. Project 2025's the plan. Don't you mention the list or his tiny, tiny hands. DC is the perfect place.
Because at the end of the day, the federalization of DC's cops, the deployment of newly armed National Guard to patrol the streets, and Cruella de Vil's icy Gestapo kidnapping people from their workplaces has nothing to do with making DC safer. And we all know this. Heck, even the press schmuckery knows DC is not any safer since her boss took over. Just listen to what she said on Fox Not a News Channel.
The Democrats were spreading the narrative. We don't need the National Guard in there because crime has gone down around 30%, 26%, I think, this past year, and 35% the year before that. And then we heard those numbers might be inaccurate. They might be false. And some people were let go or they were suspended, right, Brian, from their jobs because of it. Can you clear that up for us? Are those numbers correct?
Yeah, these numbers are absolutely correct.
The one time KK Caroline was telling the truth, she did it on Fox. So for fact's sake, crime in DC has been steadily declining for years now by double digits. So we know that this stunt has very little to do with getting rid of the criminals in our nation's capital. Just like raiding John Bolton's house for classified documents has nothing to do with maintaining our national secrets. I mean, if you don't want to be sus, at least accuse your enemies of doing something you didn't actually do. Although, I realize that that list is probably too small to be effective. Kind of like your tiny makeup-covered hands hiding the fact that you have congestive heart failure. But don't worry, Because whether or not you actually get into heaven, you're going to have a whole lot of celebrations going on down here when it happens. Meanwhile, because elections have consequences and over 77 million Americans are too stupidly selfish to think things all the way through, the meeting in Alaska mocked all the way around the world between SideQuest Donnie and the tiniest dictator Russia's ever known went off with all the hitches and apparently broke this Fox News reporter who was there in Alaska and came out of the experience with this to say.
It was just very unusual, atypical, and because the way that it felt in the room was not good. It did not seem like things went well, and it seemed like Putin came in and steamrolled, got right into what he wanted to say, and got his photo next to the president and then left. Certainly President Trump would not want to, I think, enable something that would make him look weak.
Oh, my Mar-a-Lago-faced friend, you would be wrong. Because that meeting was, in fact, completely enabled by Assolini himself, who had the U.S. military fly a B-2 stealth and F-22 bomber overhead while the Russian schmuckdater walked in a red carpet rolled out by U.S. soldiers. In what can only be described as the traffic cone of treason fangirling for Pootie Poot in the most pathetic way possible, giving him an eagle statue. Like, that's going to make the dawn of eternal stench more tolerable than simply rolling down the window and giving the dude you gave a ride to from the airport some air. Not to mention that common sense is not a feature of this regime, because who in the fuck hires admin staff who leaves important documents behind at the hotel in Alaska? Like, that's not a give a fuck moment.
Trump-Putin summit just ended, and it does not seem as though anything was actually achieved. What happened behind closed doors? We do not know.
A few moments later.
According to NPR, papers with U.S. State Department markings were found Friday morning at a business center of an Alaskan hotel, revealed previously undisclosed and potentially sensitive details about the summit. First, we learned that Trump intended to give Vladimir Putin a ceremonial present, which is an American bald eagle desk statue. We also learned that the luncheon was supposed to, quote, honor the excellency of Vladimir Putin, president of the Russian Federation, serving filet mignon. Interestingly, they were supposed to have a 2.5-hour working session. That never happened, that luncheon. They also set aside an hour of time for the press conference that lasted only about 10 minutes, and neither side took any questions.
In front of the world, both men came forward and agreed that nothing had been agreed upon.
So there's no deal until there's a deal.
Aww, so sad for him. I guess the art of the deal is not to make one, especially when a ceasefire is on the table. Not that Vlad the Short would have agreed to one anyway, what with Ukraine's President Zelensky and almost all the world leaders coming to the White House the very next day to discuss the Alaska incident.
This important meeting at the White House between Presidents Donald Trump and Volodymyr Zelensky just got a whole lot bigger. In quick succession this morning, the President of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, the Chancellor of Germany, Friedrich Merz, NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte, President of Finland, Alexander Stubb, and the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Keir Starmer, all announced that they will take part in that meeting. The President of France, Emmanuel Macron, and the Prime Minister of Italy, Giorgia Meloni, are also reportedly expected to attend.
Yeah,
to set up a trilat. Yes. Yeah.
And where are you?
Yeah. Thank you. I think he wants to make a deal for me. You understand? I'm as crazy as it sounds.
According to the New York Times, Donald Trump paused that meeting to make a phone call to Vladimir Putin. The Kremlin says the call lasted 40 minutes. It comes after Trump parroted Putin talking points in his earlier meeting with President Zelensky, questioning whether a ceasefire between Russia and Ukraine is necessary to help end the war in Ukraine.
Last week, you warned of what you called severe consequences if a 30-day ceasefire or any type of ceasefire were not agreed to by Russia. Will there be severe consequences? Does that change because of the
meeting with
President Putin?
I don't think you need a ceasefire, but we can work a deal where we're working on a peace deal while they're fighting. They have to fight. I wish they could stop. I'd like them to stop. But strategically, that could be a disadvantage for one side or the other.
Mr. President, did y'all discuss any land swaps yesterday? Because we've talked a lot about the Donbass region. And what was the feeling in the room? What did the other leaders say about this?
Well, they understand. Look, you know, Ukraine's going to get their life back. They're going to stop having people killed all over the place. And they're going to get a lot of land. But this was a war. It's not a war that should have been started. You don't do that. You don't take on a nation that's 10 times your size. And, you know, it's not like they've stopped. I assume you've all seen the map. You know, a big chunk of territory is taken. And that territory has been taken. Now, they're talking about Donbass, but Donbass right now, as you know, is 79% owned and controlled by Russia. So
Russia needs to give it back. It's that simple. But then again, we can't expect a pedophile-protecting piece of shit who owes his first occupation of the White House to a bunch of Russian hackers working for the Kremlin to bite the tiny hand that keeps their organization flush with investor cash. Besides, the incident in Alaska wasn't a total bust for the commander in cheating, who got a nifty idea about mail-in ballots from a guy who has maintained electoral control for over 25 years now.
Donald Trump has announced that he will be signing an executive order getting rid of mail-in ballots and targeting what he calls our highly inaccurate voting machines. But he's doing two things. First, he said that he's getting rid of mail-in ballots. And the second, he's getting rid of these so-called highly inaccurate voting machines ahead of the 2026 midterm elections to restore honesty and integrity to the midterm elections. That's what he's saying. This comes as his Justice Department has demanded voter rolls and information from even voting machines in states across the country.
Mail-in ballots are corrupt. Mail-in ballots, you can never have a real democracy with mail-in ballots.
Despite no evidence of widespread voter fraud, the president says he'll sign an executive order ahead of next year's midterm elections. The Constitution gives states the power to oversee elections, not the federal government.
The Constitution doesn't allow for the president to just willy-nilly take things over. The states are not agents of the federal government.
We're the only country in the world, I believe, I may be wrong, but just about the only country in the world that uses them.
He is wrong. Switzerland, Germany, Greece, the UK, and Austria are among the 34 countries that allow some form of mail-in voting.
Well, Vladimir Putin said something, one of the most interesting things. He said your election was rigged because you have mail-in voting. He said mail-in voting every election. He said no country has mail-in voting. It's impossible to have mail-in voting and have honest elections. And he said that to me. It was very interesting because we talked about 2020. He said, you won that election by so much and you lost it because of mail-in voting. It was a rigged election.
Well, that is actually not true because we have the information. Data showing that mail-in voting pushed Fat Nixon's vote count into winning territory in 2020. So is he admitting that we did not have a fair election because he won that one thanks to mail-in ballots? Not to mention that he and his trophy immigrant have been mailing in their ballots for decades. So what's going on there and what should we know about? Because the bottom line is getting rid of mail-in ballots leaves voters with one choice: to use those vote counting machines phony Stark seems to know so much about. And I don't know about you, but that does not make me feel any more confident about having a free and fair election in the United States going forward, especially since Genghis Khan apparently has a plan B for overstaying his last election.
You say during the war, you can't have elections. So let me just say 3.5 years from now. So you mean if we happen to be in a war with somebody, no more elections? Oh, that's good. I wonder what the fake
news is.
Damn Skippy, he likes that idea. That's why he sent warships to lurk around Venezuelan waters, hoping to sink someone's battleship and start a war. And then...
bing, bing, bong.
And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, Facebook. We are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, basically wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Tadir for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times, and if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.